Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Juan Caldarella, Canaro in Paris, referring to Francisco Canaro, who made a phenomenal success in Paris when he introduced the tango in 1925. Performed by Cuarteto Fuego. Tango Fire is appearing at the Kimmel Center this Sunday for just one single performance, and we were so delighted to have a chance to speak with the choreographer of the group, Germán Cormejo. First, let me welcome you to Philadelphia for this wonderful performance. I'm telling you, you have a very, very strong audience here for tango. We love it here, and especially on our station. And I wanted to talk to you about your Tango Fire Ensemble. And you are the choreographer, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when were you formed?
When I started in the company was at 2006.
I see.
And after that, I started in the role of a dancer, and with time I will turn in assistant of choreographer, and after in director of choreographer.
Now, was this something that you wanted to do for a very long time, you as a tango dancer?
Yes, I started dancing tango at 10 years old.
10 years old, my goodness. And, of course, it's the Argentine tango. That's the rage everywhere here, you know. Everyone loves tango. And I understand you have been very successful in your you know, you're traveling with your group. You started in 2006, and then you also went to Edinburgh, didn't you?
Yes. I think that the tango is successful in all the world because it's the unique dance that the both people that dance together should be so close. And the embrace is so close and warm. It's an intimate dance.
It is much more, though, than other dances.
Yes.
It's very sexy, as we say. It's sensuous. And the music is, of course, amazing as well. I was looking at you have some of Piazzolla that you're dancing to, isn't that right?
Yes, yes. We have a lot of pieces of Piazzolla in the second act, because the first act is more traditional. We start telling to the audience from the first part of the century.
Yes.
And in the second act, we show to the people the actual society, the new ways of our tango, because the tango was changing along the years from when it appeared at
in the beginning.
Yes, at
yes.
the beginning.
Yes.
And today, you can see a lot of young people dancing tango, but in different ways, no? More cool, maybe. For the oldest people, could be transgressor, but for the young people, is a good way for expressor.
probably one of the oldest and best known tango pieces, La Comparsita, performed by Cuarteto Fuego, the ensemble that travels with Tango Fire. It's wonderful for expression. And you have only, is it five couples that are dancing, the dancers?
Yes. In the company, we are five couples, and we have five world champions of the world.
Really?
Yes.
Ah, that is amazing. Where do you dance to get that championship? I mean, where do you have to dance in order to get that wonderful prize?
We practice a lot. We all the couples that won the championship, we practice a lot and had a lot of rehearsals. One of the couples that work with us, I prepare one of the world championships that work with us in the company, Maxime Solange, and I prepare many people that dance at the championship and are winners.
Now, you are, of course, the choreographer, but I read that the couples do their own thing, but you also work with them, and I guess you probably maybe are the expert in terms of what they should be doing. Is that right?
Yes, because I have the director of choreography and the director, artistic director, in one word, of the show. I design the style,
yes.
The costumes, the idea for the costumes, the image that I want that the people see.
Mm-hmm.
And each couple, each one of us, have a different style. All of the five couples have different styles between them.
Now, when you say a different style, is that the rhythm of the music, or is it a style, you know, the style of tango? As you say, it changed from years ago. When did it start originally, tango, really, to become popular? What would you say, in the 1920s?
When the tango appeared, or when the tango started to be popular in all the world?
I think not, but when it began to appear, it was really done down in the barrios, wasn't it? I mean, it was not considered a very proper dance.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
when the tango appeared was at 20s, in the 20s, and was at first was a dance for the low class.
Yes, very low class. By the piers and where the boats were and so on, I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
Was with the with the sailors, you know?
Yes.
Uh-huh. At the boards, and the men dance between them, because they just dance with the women in cabaret or
uh-huh.
places with prostitutes.
Uh-huh.
So at first was considered a bad thing, the tango.
Yes, yes.
But after that, the tango moves to Paris with great singers and incredible orchestras that
we
had. And in Paris, the people turned in love with tango, and the tango started appear in places for high classes. For the high society.
It was high society because
yes.
It became the dance to do, yes, I think.
So after that, the tango moves again to Argentina, and the people is like, you know, it's like a fashion thing.
Uh-huh. Very so, high fashion, yes.
So the people in Argentina feel that the tango now is a good thing.
It was proper. It was not bad,
yes.
Low class. Thank you. What a fantastic performance by the Cuarteto Fuego. They performed the piece Susu, and we heard some marvelous solos from each of the members of the ensemble, who are certainly well-schooled in the tango style of playing. The work opened with a violin solo performed by Estefania Corsini, who has marvelous credits with many, many of the tango ensembles, and also is a member of many orchestras, the Sinfonietta Marta Argerich, and has performed in Argentina and in other countries. Numerous, numerous credits with the amazing bandoneon playing of Clemente Carrascal, who studied at the Manuel de Falla Conservatory. He was a member of the prestigious 10th formation of the Emilio Balcarce Tango School and has performed in several distinguished orchestras as well, the Alejandro Ziegler Quartet and the Bien Pulenta Quartet. And we heard pianist Matthias Fagan, who also started his piano studies in popular music and then studied classical music with Antonio De Racco and Nilda Soma. He's studying at the Beethoven Conservatory and has been musical director of different bands in Argentina, including Tangabile. And finally, not to be missed, Facundo Benavides, contrabassist, a very important role in a tango quartet. He started his piano studies in popular music and then turned to classical music and is studying piano at the Beethoven Conservatory. He's been musical director of different bands in Argentina. I spoke to an Argentinian gentleman, a very famous singer, an opera singer, and because he had released an album of songs, you know, Argentinian songs, mm-hmm. Music of Carlos Gardel, I guess it was. And I asked him about the tango, and he said he remembers the tango for him as a young man being very military. It was of the time when there was the military government. I think it became very, very strong. Is that possible?
Yes, because we had a
fascist
a time mm-hmm. with you know, that had a moment in our country that the military stopped with a lot of things, and the music that you can hear was not allowed.
Not allowed.
Yes, the Argentinian music was not allowed, and just the people that the militaries were that they sing songs that the military created.
I see.
You know, for. Give to the people things that they want.
Yes, yes. In other words, the tango was too much of the people, I guess, the heart of the people. So it's really quite an interesting story. And then, of course, now it is all over the world and everyone loves it. I mean, this is not just, it's a dance. It is, there is a fever to dance the tango. And it is such an amazing, amazing dance. What was the influence of Piazzolla in terms of the dancing? Because the music is slightly different, but it's more intense. And I was just wondering how that affected the dancing of the tango, his music.
Yeah. The music of Piazzolla had a lot of jazz in his music, so we incorporate new movements mm-hmm. That represent that music.
Yes.
For example, in the show, all the couples have training in classical, jazz, modern dance, acrobatic techniques. A lot of different things that and turn more rich.
It's richer to draw from. Yes.
Yes.
So, yes. Okay. So there's jazz, but I still think you have your basic steps. I mean, don't you in the tango?
Yes, we have many basic steps that with the time were changing. But all the people keep, all the new students and in all the shows, someone try to keep the traditional, the basic steps. I think that in the difference in this show is that we keep the essence of the tango. The most important thing that is the soul, the contact between both people, the intimacy between them, and the close embrace. But we add a lot of things for turn more emotional.
Emotional, very emotional, and intense, as we say, and very passionate.
Yes, we try tell histories in the show.
Yes,
and turn emotional to people, because when I go and I want to see the show, theater or something similar, I want have something from the piece. Something from the people that are acting in the show. So I think that the most important thing is that the people get something from us, something that maybe give to them memories of them or similar things.
Yes.
So we try with that. Show to them histories and
the different styles, the different, yes, I see. Music performed by Cuarteto Fuego, the music of Astor Piazzolla, we heard Oblivion. Now you have, of course, just a small ensemble. You have a bandoneon and, of course, the violin, piano, and bass. And that, of course, is the classic.
Yes, it's the classic formation.
Yes. Sometimes they have more bandoneons, I know. And but I think that's in the larger groups. But you are lighting fire with what you have there. And we are so excited to have you here in Philadelphia. Now, it's only one performance, is that right?
Yes, yes.
One performance, one day, and then you're...
So the people in Philadelphia have just one opportunity for us.
Yes. And it's at 4 o'clock, is that right, at the Kimmel Center? And then where do you go, Herman? Where do you go after
now
that?
Now I can remember. But okay. I know that we will go to Montreal in Canada.
Yes.
Toronto, Miami in USA then, Tampa, West Palm Beach, a lot of cities in the country.
Well, you have no idea how tango has become so popular. I myself am crazy about it. I've been to Argentina twice, and I did study a little bit down there, you know, with the actual, you know, teachers down there. But it is really the most exciting and beautiful, beautiful dance. It is sensual, but it is beautiful. The music is wonderful, and of course, it's a language all its own. And I welcome you with warm, you know, greetings here to Philadelphia and hope to see you at your performance at the Kimmel Center.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've been speaking today with director of choreography and dancer in the ensemble Tango Fire, Herman Cormejo. The Tango Fire Company of Buenos Aires will be appearing at the Kimmel Center tomorrow, Sunday, at 4 p.m. This is the only performance that they are doing here in Philadelphia. If you're interested in tickets, you can call 215-893-1999 or go to the web at kimmelcenter.org. I'm Jill Pasternak. You're listening to Crossover. Recognize the style. It was Astor Piazzolla's Michelangelo 70, performed by our guest today, Pablo Ziegler, and his ensemble. Pablo Ziegler is very well known as being the pianist for about 10 years with the great Astor Piazzolla. And of course, what we heard was music of Piazzolla to open with. This is a very special interview, and we were just thrilled to be able to talk to this great artist here on Crossover. I have just adored you. Uh-huh. And of course, unfortunately, I've adored you because of Astor Piazzolla. Uh-huh. That's kind of a history for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now you are still doing, you're doing the Nuevo Tango and you're doing jazz as well. Is that right?
Yes. My new tango style is including a lot of jazz. Like a jazz improvisation inside my tunes or inside.
Well, you're still doing, but is the tango part of everything you do still?
Yeah, yes, of course, yes.
So this is the birthplace of what you're doing. In other words, you started with tango and then you went into jazz, is that right?
I started when I was a kid playing tangos because my father was a former tango violinist. And he teach me how to play tango. But at the same time, I went to the Buenos Aires Musical Conservatory for 10 years. And when I finished, when I got my degree, I start to become in love with jazz music.
Yes.
In that moment, at the age around my 15 years old, I start to learn to play jazz. No? And finally, I'm doing both. In the same
together,
I include that those music and then those styles in my music.
When you say you did, you study jazz, or was this something that you kind of sat down and you really kind of learned it on your own?
Yeah, in that moment, I'm talking about around I'm from 45 in the 1960s. No?
Yes.
In that moment in Argentina, there's no any jazz academy or whatever.
Of course,
we was learning jazz from the LPs, from the CD,
from
disc,
American
basics.
Yes, okay, the basics. But and tango was different then. That was what all of this was about too, because Piazzolla was also a jazz musician, wasn't he?
Yeah, Piazzolla includes jazz music in his composition, no?
Yes.
I mean, he was using more jazz harmony than tango harmony, no?
Right, right.
The tango harmony, the traditional tango, are very simple harmonies, no?
Yes.
But Piazzolla had this skilled, classical, harmonic skill more sophisticated than that, no? Like jazz, no? And he included in his composition that kind of harmonica environment, no? Which is he changed really a lot our music.
And a lot. And people...
I tried to continue in that way, developing this Buenos Aires music to the future, no?
Yes, and a
preserving
lot of...
the roots and try to do something new.
Well, a lot of people that are traditional, not now so much, but they didn't really pick up on the Nuevo Tango. I mean, they felt it was perhaps dissonant, you know, and not the beat was there, but the whole idea of it was very different.
Yeah, I remember in the traditional tango guys hate Piazzolla.
Yes, yes.
Because they say, oh no. But same thing happened here when started bebop, no?
Uh huh.
With a traditional jazz musician. No?
Right, yes.
With some confrontation. Those guys was against any kind of change. And just because I remember that. The time of the big bands like Tommy Dorsey.
Oh, yes.
They are playing music for dancer,
yes.
Basically, no?
It was dance music, sure, absolutely.
And the bebop moved that concept, or changed that concept to transform the jazz and for the, I mean, for the... move to a concert stage, I mean, just for listeners.
And also, it was different harmonies. It was, you know...
Yeah.
That was what it was.
Very innovative, no?
Yeah.
And taking all this information from Europe, from composers like Ravel.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, the bandoneon, though, is always there, right?
Yeah. It's like the tango color that everybody recognizes.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. And, oh, I saw that you played with Richard Galliano at some point. That
yes,
must have been something.
Yes, at some point.
Unbelievable.
We share the stage.
Unbelievable. Now, when you play and you do your quartet, you're always changing personnel. Is there a particular reason for that?
Yeah, I have from my original quintet, American quintet that I was starting in the 1990s. Finally, I have a trio, piano, guitar, and bandoneon, and separate from that, I have a quartet instead of with piano, bass, bandoneon, and cello.
Ah.
That is my classical quartet, no?
Well, I think that when I was in Buenos Aires a couple of times, and I, of course, it was unbelievable for me, but I always felt that the tango ensemble is very classical. I mean, it's like a...
Yeah, the tango ensemble is
It really
very
is,
classical.
You know. But
it includes by strings and bandoneon, bass and piano.
So the cello would certainly...
Sometimes cello, yeah.
Well, now in the regular ensemble, you know, the tango ensemble, isn't there a bass? Don't they have a bass?
Yes, okay.
But
yes.
Do they bowed bass? It's
bass, cello, and
they play it though with a bow. Is that right? The bass, or are they playing
bow and pizzicato?
And pizzicato
both.
As well. So I know, and of course, what, three bandoneons, isn't that, or four
that's
sometimes?
The tango band.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah. But
two or three bandoneons.
Yeah. So, I mean, the strings are very important, the violin and the cello. You really feel the bass and the violin are terribly important. Well, they're all important, I guess.
Yeah. That's the tango band, no? Tango orchestra. The regular and basic tango orchestra. That is usually they have a five or six bandoneons.
Yeah.
Six or eight violin, something like that, bass and piano, no? No percussion.
No, they don't. Well, they don't. They have the piano and they have.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very unique kind of playing too. It's very elaborate. You know what I mean? A lot of it's a style. Very.
Yeah.
Florid kind of style. But when you were in Europe, I understand you had a different group playing with you.
I have a different musician. No?
Uh-huh.
So, got a couple of guys from Argentina.
I see.
We created some years ago this kind of trio.
So where do we can't pin you pin you down. Do you know what that means when I say that? We can't put you in a little box. You have all these different boxes that you're in.
Yeah.
You know? Well, all I can tell you is I will follow you around wherever you go, because we adore you here at the station, too. I love tango, and believe it or not, we play from the Piazzolla. It's partially classical. I mean, you know, we have some things. But we do have a marvelous following here with tango. So I will continue to play that here. And thank you so much for giving me your time.
I hope to see you in the concert.
I would love to come out there. We'll see if I can. I will try very, very hard, Pablo. And may I call you Pablo?
Okay.
And I'm Jill. And thanks again for visiting with
us. Okay, thank you for calling.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We've just heard music of Pablo Ziegler, the Milonga en el Viento, with the ensemble that he performed with at the Jazz Standard on this recording. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.